Welcome to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Moraine, Ohio. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We pray that the Holy Spirit would give you light from the Word as Pastor Tom Gresham brings the message today.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We're all in a race, and this race is not just like your 100-yard dash or run around a track. This race is an obstacle course, and the obstacle courses are things that we come across in our life. He said to run with patience. And patience, we know tribulation, work with patience. And so we know that as we go through this life, there are going to be obstacles along the way. And we looked at Joseph in the Old Testament and some of the things that he went through, some of the obstacles that he faced. And I'll just mention these. You can go back and read. Most of you are probably familiar with most of it anyhow. But the reaction of his brothers and his parents to his dream, his brothers hated him and envied him, and his father rebuked him when he revealed the dream. And then his brothers, as he was obedient to his father, went out to check on his brothers, and they conspired to kill him. They sold him into slavery, and then they lied to their dad about him being dead. I mean, you talk about an obstacle, being sold out of your home, taken to a foreign country, and you're away from everything. I mean, you are literally on your own from that point on. But we also know that the Bible tells us that the Lord was with Joseph in Genesis 39:2. And then we find out that he's in Potiphar's house, and he refuses the temptation of the woman who tries to tempt him and seduce him and lead him astray. And then she lies about him and falsely accuses him. Man, you talk about an obstacle in your Christian life. I mean, that's stuff that'll rattle your cage. People lie. Listen, we see it. We see it in our time today. Somebody lies about somebody, and they quit going to church. They give up on God. You know, one thing that you have to realize is that God sets out the course. God orders the course of our life. But God orders that knowing what other people are going to do, knowing what's going to happen, and He helps us through those things. But it's not God's fault that they happen. You can't blame God. God allows the things. He knows what people are. He knows when somebody's going to lie about you. But it's you walking with Him that gets you through that obstacle. And you know, when you're running with patience, patience tell you, hang on, it'll be all right. Hang on, we'll get you through this. Like I said earlier, especially if you're running through obstacles, it's good to have somebody else help you over those obstacles, to help you get through those things. And that's what patience does. You're not in this thing alone. We know the Lord's with us, but He said, hey, run with patience. Man, you're running. And I mentioned this morning, you know, when you run by yourself, running by yourself's nice, but it's nice you've got somebody else that runs with you. And you go out running, man. When I was in service, we used to run together. Man, that was good. We'd encourage one another. So you got somebody starting to like it. Hey, come on, man, get it up. You encourage one another. And even as a group, when we'd have our squad, stuff like that, they'd get us out. And everywhere we went, we ran. We didn't walk anywhere. It didn't matter how far it was. You ran everywhere. And the pace may not be a full dead run, but it was enough where it kept you going. And you do, and that whole group. And you know what they do? Some of you, you might have heard of the cadences when they sing the cadences when they go along. You know what that does? That helps your timing, and it keeps everybody on the same track, keeps everybody on track, keeps everybody focused. You'd be surprised how much further you can run if you're running with a group and you're counting cadences, a distance you wouldn't think you could make. But with the whole body going with you, it makes a whole lot easier. We talked about the body. We talked about the church today. And you know what that is? That's a picture of what we go through. We're all in this thing together. You go through the obstacles. Realize you're not the only one face obstacles. Now, the devil will pull you aside and tell you, hey, nobody understands you because of what you're going through. Well, he's a liar. He always has been and always will be a liar. He just knows that if he can isolate you, then he's going to get you out of the way. Just like they said, a wise old pastor went to visit a fellow that hadn't been in church for a while. He went over to his house there. It was in the wintertime, and went in the house. The guy welcomed him in. They sat down. The pastor just sat down, didn't say a word, was looking at the fellow. They're just kind of looking at each other. Pastor looked over. There's a little fire going. He went over there and took a pair of tongs, and he took one of the logs there, and he just kind of scooted it out away from the rest of the fire. and then sat down and watched the ember, to watch that thing, the fire, just kind of go down, that thing get all by itself. And then he went back over a little bit, picked it up, put it back on the fire, sat back down, that log kicked back up on fire again. Looked at the fellow and said, thank you for allowing the visit. He said, thank you for coming. You'll see me in church on Sunday. Didn't have to say a lot, just illustrated it. Amen. We need each other. He was falsely accused. Then he got put in jail for something he didn't do. But in 39:21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord made him to prosper in the things that he did. And then he had the obstacle of waiting in jail. I mean, he interpreted the dream of the baker and the butler, and he requested the butler, hey, remember me 2 years later. You talk about having patience. 2 years later, when Pharaoh has the dream, the butler now remembers. Can you imagine that? I don't know about you, but if I have somebody do me a favor and it took 2 years, I'd kind of figure he'd done forgot. You ever feel like sometimes you've been forgotten? You know what helped you do it? Have patience running with you. Have patience running with you. You know, sometimes we just have to wait on the Lord. You say, well, I don't like waiting. Nobody does. Nobody likes waiting. And our society today especially is, we don't wait for anything. It's got to be right now. I mean, everything's got to be fast. You got to have it. I mean, even now you order food, you can get DoorDash. Man, they'll bring it right to your house. I'll bring it right to your business. I was teasing somebody in the office the other day. We had at one of the other chapels, they had something that belonged to the lady, and they said, hey, she forgot that. When you go over there, can you take this to her? And I said, yeah, I'll take care of that. So I went over and I set it down on her desk. I said, hey, we do better in DoorDash. This is Desk Dash today. And I walked out, they just cracked up. I was like, but you know what? We're used to it. Everything's got to be given to us right away, right now. Can't wait. You can't wait. And that really has hurt us in a lot of ways, because people are not patient at all. At all. So he's waiting all this time. And then I guess we talked about it, the concern of his father. I mean, when his brothers come, you know what he wants to know? Is my father, is that, first it's, they don't know who he is. So is that old man you spake of, is he doing all right? He wouldn't know how his dad was doing. Why? Because see, when they sold him into slavery, they removed him from his dad. He loved his dad and his dad loved him. That relationship got put on hold. You know what? When he saw his brothers, he wants to know, hey, is dad alive? And then later on, he's like, is dad still okay? Oh, yeah, he's good. And then, of course, when his dad comes, I mean, he gives him a hug. I mean, he weeps for a good while when he got reunited with his father. And then another obstacle was the death of his father. And then not only the death of his father, but then the distrust of his brethren after the death of his father. They even lied again. Well, no, when dad was alive, he said, he didn't say that. But you know what? When people get in a pinch, man, that lie trade, if you're used to lying, it'll keep on going. Now, he could have got mad and said, look, y'all are a bunch of liars. I couldn't trust you back then. I can't trust you now. But you know how he responded to them? Even with them being liars and even with them bringing this up and trying to kind of put it on him, the Bible says that he took care of them. He took care of their needs. And we looked at Joseph. The Bible tells us in Genesis 49:22, Joseph is a fruitful bough. And we notice in Luke chapter 8 that the Lord tells us that good seed brings forth fruit with patience. And I mentioned, listen, if you have a garden, if you plant anything like that, you have to learn that it's only going to bring forth fruit with patience. And that patience, it takes time. That patience, it takes work. To bring forth fruit, you got to have proper weather, proper cultivation. It's got to be taken care of. That's all a part of it. Listen, farmers, you know why they're patient people? Because you can't rush the crop. You can put every kind of thing you want on there. You may get some miracle grow. It may help it grow maybe a little more fruitful in the end, but it still has to grow. It still has to germinate. There's a process. The problem is in the Christian life is when we have to go through a process in our life, we don't like that. We want instant results now. I want to be spiritual now. I want to win every battle now. Brother Frank was talking about witnessing to somebody and they got saved, but they're concerned about their salvation because they've not done right all the time. Do you understand that you have to understand that your salvation is not based upon your works? Miss Tracy mentioned this to me the other day. Let me see if I still have this here, but it was a little statement I want to read you. It's really good. It says, In order to believe the lie that you can lose your salvation, you must first believe the lie that you have earned your salvation. In other words, to believe that you can lose it means you believe that you earned it. Salvation's by grace through faith, period. And a lot of people, they don't get that groundness, and they think, so I messed up, so I'm not saved. No. When you become a child of God, you're a child of God. You then are either an obedient child of God or a disobedient child of God. You're still a child of God. You say, yeah, but I know somebody, they did what? What can you do to not become a child of God? If you're saved by grace through faith, you're saved by grace through faith. The worse things that you do as a child of God, the greater the punishment from God, the greater the chastening from God. But you're still a child of God. You're either saved by grace through faith or you're not. There's no middle ground. You say, well, I don't believe they were saved already. Well, you know what? You better be real careful with that, because the Bible says that we're to walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So anytime you and I are not walking in the Spirit, we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And the works of the flesh are, and go through the list. And you and I are capable of everything on that list when we're walking in the flesh. We have a choice to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. We walk in the Spirit, we're going to do right. We'll have the right heart, the right spirit. We'll have the right conduct. We'll be doing the things that are right when we're walking in the Spirit. But you and I have to admit, there's times where we're not walking in the Spirit. People can get on our nerves about something. We can respond. We can say things. And more often than not, there's a lot of things you think that are not in the Spirit of God. You say, well, I never did this. Were you thinking about doing it? The only thing that maybe prevented you from physically doing it was because you knew the cost of getting caught would be far greater than you were willing to pay. But it doesn't mean you weren't thinking about doing. Well, that's why the Bible says, if a man looketh on a woman to lust after, he committed adultery with her already in his heart. God judges the heart, so he looks at that heart and he says, yeah, you wanted to do it. I'm marking it down. That's what your heart wanted. Whether you were able to achieve that or not, it's a different story. You hate a brother without a cause. What's he say that's the same as? Murder. So I never killed nobody. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I have never physically killed anybody. But in my mind, I've killed a bunch of people. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying. There's folks that have done wrong, done me wrong, done my family wrong, or I've seen do other people wrong. And I'm like, we could fix this real quick. Amen? You ever been that angry? You say, oh, never me. Careful. Careful. God knows your heart. So you have to be careful of those things. Listen, God brings obstacles along the way in our course. God sets out our course, and we come up to those obstacles. But we're to run with patience. Patience run right there with us and help us through, because some things take some time to get through. Some things take a little more time. Like I said, in the military, we had obstacles. There were some of them you can get through pretty fast. There were some of them took a little time because you had to climb. I mean, you had to climb up. They had logs that were about like that far apart, and you had to climb it. It was as tall as this ceiling. Get up, go across, come down the other side. Let me tell you something. You got to be real careful, too. There's some of them things you don't hurry through. Or you just make a fast exit, like straight down. You say, what do they do? Well, if you didn't break anything, get you up until you try again. You know the thing you learn about an obstacle course? You keep going until you master the obstacle. Amen? The Bible says in James 1, let patience have her perfect work. Why? Because it says that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, not like it. He wants you complete. Perfect is not sinless. In the context he's talking about perfect, he's talking about being complete. Listen to me. Do you know what God is trying to work in my life, in your life? The Bible teaches us he's looking to conform us to the image of his Son. Well, let me ask you something. Did Jesus go through some obstacles? He sure did. He went through obstacles. And you know what? The Bible said he learned obedience. Well, I guarantee you, he had to learn some patience along with that obedience, didn't he? You know what? So God's conforming us to the image of his Son. So in order to help us, There are different tests or challenges along the way that you and I are going to face. So we run with patience. Patience is a good running partner. Amen? See, the hardest part about patience is what? The waiting. We don't like to wait. You think about these ladies having these babies. Any woman that's ever had a child knows by the time you hit that ninth month, you're done waiting. It's like you got a week left. You're like, man, this is the longest week of your life. Right? You want to be done with it. But the bottom line is you've got to let everything take its course. None of us likes the waiting. The waiting is a difficult part. We want it the way we want it. Have it your way when we want it. And it better come to pass when we want it, or somehow God's at fault. There are just some things that take time. I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now the one thing that you see about it, and the Bible's given us these things, and I think it's interesting in the context here, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that we understand we run with patience. Why? Well, because we already know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. So if tribulation works patience, then we can understand that if we're going to run with patience, that means there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be tests. There's going to be trials. There's going to be obstacles. All right, so in 1 Corinthians 10:10, it said, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Listen, you better be very careful about how you're judging how other people respond to things, because the moment you think, "I would never," you're going to have to climb that obstacle. And I've watched it in my own life and the lives of tons of other people. And the ones I cringe when somebody said, "Well, I'd never do." And you're like, oh, man, you just signed up for an obstacle. You just put your request in, said, "Give me that. I'll show you what I can do." You say, "Is that going to happen right away?" Oh, no, it's going to happen when you least expect it, because God's going to let you be tested like that other person got tested. And you know what I found? A majority of the time, those that get tested and say they were never usually aren't successful. It's a great humbling experience in our life. And how do we respond to that? Do we respond, humble ourselves, repent, and move on? Or do we get bitter against God? "Well, why did he let me go through that? I've lived a better life than what they have. See, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise." You got to remember, listen, it's only by God's righteousness and God's grace that you and I get to accomplish anything. If it comes down to who's better than who, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. Some people get on their high horse about, "Well, I've done this, I've done that." Yeah, well, without God's help, you can't do anything. And if it's all you doing it, the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to go. And you look down, they'll go. And them ashes are going to part, and there won't be nothing there. Amen. So look what he says. He said, here in verse 12, he said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." With that temptation, that trial, that obstacle, God said, "Look, you can make it. I'm going to show you a way to get this thing done." But many times we don't look for the way to escape. We don't look for that. We just get mad at God because we don't like the situation. Now, you know what murmuring is? Murmuring is a sign of impatience. "Well, I don't know why it's happening. Why is it?" Well, just hush. Just hang in there. You ever go to the grocery store? And I'm not saying if it's you or somebody else, but, you know, there's a line. You're like, "Oh, these people, I don't wait in this line. What's taking them so long?" Okay, genius, did you look at the cart of the person in front of you there that's got like 500 items? It takes a minute. Amen? Well, I wish they'd hurry up. Now, you think about it. Sometimes you ever get somebody that come behind you, they got like one thing, and you got a cart full. Now, as a Christian, what do you normally do? Make them wait? I hope not. Good time to witness. So while they're unloading the cart, let me ask you, if you died today, oh, you mean if I died today, okay. No, the truth is, you see somebody, you're like, hey, why don't you go ahead? You just got one thing, you can go ahead and get through. You know what I found out? You give that person a track, and you see that situation, you pull out a track, and they come by and say, hey, you go first. Here, let me give you something to read here. They've got a better chance of reading that because you were kind to them. But you don't, and you're rude, and you want to give them a track, they ain't got nothing to do with your God. Amen? But you know, we don't like to wait in line. As I said, it's funny. You can pull up to a Chick-fil-A, man, and their cars will be all the way around that restaurant. And you're thinking, oh, man, I'm going to have to wait forever. 10 minutes later, you're pulling out, and you got your food. You're good to go. And people say, oh, I don't want to wait 10 minutes. Okay, genius, you cook all that at home and see if you can get it done quicker in 10 minutes. Amen? Things take time. I don't know. You want to have a flashback? How many of you remember a mom cooking a full meal, taking hours before supper time, some even making their own noodles, making their own bread, making food from scratch, making a pie for dessert, all that stuff being made at home. And now, man, we just DoorDash it, bring it in, get me my whole meal. These restaurants, man, you can order a whole meal, dessert, and a whole nine yards. I'll bring it in there. There you go. Set it on your porch, ring the bell, see you, have a great day. And we pull it out and say, what took them so long? Oh, I'm sorry, you were the only one they were cooking for today. You know what that murmuring is? Murmuring is a sign of impatience. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Sons of thunder. So we look here and we see James and John here. They're called the sons of thunder. Now let's look here and see how they operate here. You see, a lot of times we don't want to wait on God for God's plan the way God has things settled. We want to do it our way. So here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 53 it says, and they did not receive him, speaking of Christ, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? What, are you kidding me? Because they didn't want to receive him, and he turned around. They were ready to call down fire right now. Look what the Lord says. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know what they're like? They're that crowd. Well, they didn't receive it. Best God just call on that fire. Burn them up right there. Well, and that accomplished what? Listen, if they don't get saved, they're going to face the fire soon enough. They'll face that fire soon enough. You know, sometimes we're not going to wait on God. We're not going to wait on God's time. We're not going to wait on God to work in their life. God, you just zap them right now. Well, what if God zapped you right now when you weren't right? What about when you were having your bad day and said, bad day, you've had too many. Ain't none of us be here. We'll be at the burn spot on the carpet. Amen? All right, look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 51. Matthew 26 and verse 51. It says, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then, if that were to happen, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Now, if you look over in the book of John chapter 18, a parallel passage, it says this in John 18:10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You know what? It wasn't time to try to cut off heads. Now, you know, Peter wasn't aiming for the ear. But someone swings a sword, you're going to duck. And you talk about a grazing deal just to take off the ear. Well, here's the bottom line. If he cut off his head, the Lord could still put that back on. But he got the ear. And you know, the Lord said, put it up. It ain't time. Peter's like, I'm going to fix this right now. I'm going to do it my way. How many of us are like that when it comes to obstacles? Well, why did the Lord let this happen this way? That's not the way I would do it. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. When did that make us a part of the Trinity? Amen? The time is nigh. Turn to John chapter 7. Look at this here. I don't know about you, but I've thought a lot of times, well, Lord, if this happened, Chris, I've thought about this. Well, Lord, if you let this happen in that person's life, they'll surely get right. And it happens and they don't. Like, well, that didn't work. But Lord, if you did this, they would surely get right. And he does and they don't. You ever think, man, is God not listening to me? But what if the fact is, we don't know what it'll take. Here's what you know for sure. You know what it'd take to get your attention. If that thing you said, well, if that happened to them, they'd get right. No, what you're meaning is, if that was me in their shoes and that happened to me, I would get right. Because you know what's operating your heart, but you don't know. Brother Bill Robertson here, he'd go nuts, do something. I'd be like, well, I'll tell you what, if God just did that, and that might be the exact opposite thing he needs. But God knows what he needs. And God knows the timing for what he needs. You know what's hard for us? We've got loved ones that ain't living right. Right? Everybody's got loved ones that ain't living right. All right? And we want to see them get right with God, don't we? What's it going to take? We don't know, do we? And what time will it take? We don't know. You see, what I wish, I know what we would like to see. But I'm sure Joseph would have liked to have seen his father sooner than what he got a chance to see him. Let patience run with you. Say, Lord, I've just got to, listen, you know what you got to learn to do? You got to learn to say, God, I'm just giving it to you. I can't figure all that out. You'll go nuts trying to figure all that out because you're not God. You'll go crazy. You'll go insane. I'm telling you, there's people who go nuts over stuff. And when you actually get down to what's going on in their head, you realize it's because they're trying to control something you have no control over. You can be a good influence. You and I can be a good influence to people, but that doesn't mean they're going to listen right now. You need to pray, God, in your time, will you work on their heart? God, you know what they need. And if they ultimately reject all that, that's between them and God. You can't change their heart. Amen? John chapter 7, look in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. You know what it was? It wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. Look in John chapter 8 and verse 20. It says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. See, it wasn't time yet. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, there's a time coming, but wasn't here yet. Look over in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. You see, they wanted to get rid of Jesus before it was time for Jesus to be gotten rid of. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus was doing the will of the Father as it was designed to be, according to the scriptures. In other words, according to God's time. Not it wasn't even Jesus' time. It was the Father's time. And you know what? In our lives, we got to learn to run with patience because it is probably not going to happen in your time frame that you've designed. It's got to be in this time frame. So like I said, it's like we look at our watch and God looks at a calendar. That's how it feels sometimes, don't it? Luke chapter 22 and verse 52, it said, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But look what he said. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. You know why they were able to take him? It was time. The time had come. You know what it was up until then? Running with patience until it was time. Listen, especially you younger people, you got to realize there's a lot of things you want to accomplish. Some things you can get done quickly, and other things are going to take time. And there's things you just got to wait. And it's worth waiting. It's worth waiting. Some of you, we tell you, you need to be careful, you know, about getting a young lady and a pretty young lady. Read the Proverbs regularly. You see, there's a lot of danger in a strange woman. Amen? You know what it's telling you? It's worth waiting for the right one. For young ladies, it's worth waiting for the right guy, not just the first one says, oh, you're adorable, you're cute, you're just wonderful. Well, let him back it up by how he's living his life, if he's living right for God or not. Amen? If not, you can find yourself in a lot of trouble. Look over Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So when you have those obstacles that come, what do those obstacles do? With patience, they work experience. The one thing, listen, a lot of young people, you know what you have? You have a lot of zeal, but lack of experience. You know what you find with some older folks? They got a lot of experience and no zeal. What you want to have is both. You want to grow with some experience and still have some zeal about the things of God, the things that are right, about doing right. Zeal is only going to carry you so far. Without experience, you're going to make a mess. That's why if you're wise, we talked earlier, I said something earlier about an apprenticeship. You know what an apprenticeship is? It's taking and guiding that young zeal to get the proper experience to be able to do a good job. Get yourself a mentor. Get somebody that you can look up to, that you're willing to talk to say, hey, here's where I'm struggling. Let them help you to overcome those obstacles. And pretty soon you'll have experience. And you get experience dealing with those different obstacles, you'll be able to help somebody else, and it'll make it easier when you come up to obstacles knowing, okay, here is an obstacle. In the Bible, some people talk about giants come along. You preach about facing giants. What is a giant? He's just an obstacle. When David showed up on the scene, the children of Israel were all lined up for war, but nobody was budging because of one giant. And even the king, who was head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites, didn't even go out against the giant. And here's little David shows up. You know what? He'd walked with God. He'd fought the lion. He'd fought the bear. He'd been through some obstacles already. He already knew God did it. Yeah, he had the experience. He's like, and you can imagine him coming up and saying, hey, fellas, what's going on? And then here comes Goliath. Roar. Here I go, who's this guy? Oh, everybody's all afraid. David's like, him? You're all afraid of him? He ain't nothing. You say, well, David was little. But David's God was not little. David didn't see Goliath compared to him, or he would have never budged like the rest of them. The reason the children of Israel didn't budge is they didn't have faith in God. David said, oh, who's this punk think he is? He's going to blaspheme my God? He said, oh, I've dealt with that kind before. Goes over the creek. There, yeah, well, there's, I get one there. Oh, that's a good one there. That one's going to fly straight. Let me get this one. Yeah, he's got brothers. Let me get ready because they show up. I'm going to take them down too. He wasn't worried about it. So what if Goliath's brothers would have showed up? He'd have been like, well, I got enough rocks. We're good to go. And when you read the account, you know what he does? He runs toward the giant. He don't stand back and go, oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Man, I hope I get this right. No, Goliath's like, oh, you think you're bad? And he's like, I think I'm bad. Come on, big boy. I'm going to take you down. Zing with the rock, zap hit the giant. He said, ooh, it hurt him, dear hearts. And he went down to the ground. Took him down. Then he goes over and picks up Goliath's own sword and cuts his head off. You talk about something that's humiliating. Not just you die by your own sword. And what happened? All them Philistines were saying, yeah, we're bad. We're bad. Yeah, Goliath, you tell. Yeah, we're buying Goliath. We're bad. Goliath went down and they ran. Children of Israel, what'd they do? When they saw their champion, now David's a champion. He was a punk kid before he knocked down the giant. But see, he had experience with God. And that experience with God showed him that those obstacles, no matter how tall they were, weren't enough to stop his God. Let me ask you, do you think the obstacles in your life are too big for your God? They may look too big for you, but are they too big for your God? That's our problem. Well, look at this obstacle. Was it too big for your God? I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Sound to me like he can give me strength. It doesn't matter the obstacle, right? There's a course laid out for us. You know, it's interesting. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. My course. I have kept the faith. It's interesting, in Acts 13 it said, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I have my course. John, it said, when John finished his course. In Acts chapter 20, he said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Hey, there may be similarities in the course we run, but every one of us in here have our own course to run. Your course is not the same as my course. We may have a lot of similar obstacles along the way, but are you willing to finish your course? Paul said he wanted to finish my course with joy. And then he says in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That press is to urge forward with force. Here he said, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to finish my course. He pressed toward the mark. You know what a mark is? It's a physical line that's drawn. You know what he's saying? I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to cross the finish line. You say, preacher, when's my life over? When you cross the finish line. I remember Brother Lovell passed away. Somebody in the family, I don't remember which one, said something. I said, he crossed the finish line. You see, you got that checkered flag, finished. I said, come on home, boy, you're finished. You finished your course. He said, yeah, but look at what more could have. No, you don't understand. When your course is run, that's not the time to say what could have been, should have been. The time to say what should be and could be is now before you get to the finish line. Once you cross the finish line, the race is over. You can't go back I wish I would. You know what you got to decide? You're going to run your course now. Have Lord help you with your course now. Whatever your course is, you got to say, what is my course? And I'm going to run this baby until it is over. And with God's help, everything that God gives me to do, I'm going to get it done, knowing there's going to be obstacles. Like I said in the service, we had the obstacle course, and you didn't graduate until you went through the obstacle course. So you know what you did? You made sure you got through the obstacle course. And you know what we did? We made sure to encourage each other to go through the obstacle course. When I went through the combat training, they had a course you had done. You had to do map and compass. You had all kinds of stuff you had to do. And Chris, you didn't finish the class unless you finished the course. Whatever that course entailed. It could be shooting. It could be running. It could be map, whatever it was, until you finished. You didn't get your certificate until you crossed the finish line. And every one of us, listen, we're all in a sense the same race together to encourage one another. And you're going to have obstacles. Listen, young people, you've got obstacles. You're facing it. Many of us already run that course. So we can say, hey, listen, there's some things you need to watch out for. There's some dangers. When I went through combat training, one of the dangers they told you about trails was bungee pits. They'd take spikes or they'd take wood spikes and stuff, and they'd sharpen the ends, and then they'd put dung on top of it to make it so you could get infections. And it wasn't meant to kill you. It was meant to cripple you. You watch out because they'd cover that, and then you'd fall in, and those sticks would go in, injure you, and then you get infection, and you could die from it. But they knew if they injured one soldier, took four other soldiers to take care of them, they'd take five out of action instead of just killing the one. But you know what you do? You learn to look for the booby trap. You learn to look for the problems. And there's obstacles, and some of them you learn, hey, you know what? This obstacle, you're like, oh, I got this. Well, if you got it in your own mind, you got to be very careful because you may not have as much as you think. Let somebody that's been through some experiences tell you, hey, listen, you're facing this. Here's what you can do. You might actually be able to get around the whole obstacle if you pay attention. There are some things you don't have to go through. Remember, Bill? And there's some things that we've been through, being lost people, we don't want you to go through. There you go. I don't know about you, but I'd rather know about how to get around an obstacle and not have to go through it if it's possible. Amen? That's what the Lord gives us. Finish the course by crossing the finish line. Finish with patience. She's a good running partner. The Bible says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Then he says, but let patience have her perfect work. James 1:4, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Be complete. Not lacking anything that you need, if you'll let patience run with you. But if not, way of the transgressor is hard. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can go the wrong way. Going the wrong ways can be real dangerous. The other day, I was driving down the road, and this guy turned off. It was a one-way street, and he come down the wrong way. So I slowed down, was flashing lights at him. He finally stopped, backed up. I wasn't going until he moved back. And there was another road. I must have been the day for wrong ways. There was another fellow who was coming the wrong way, and then he just kept coming. I flashed my lights and everything at him, and I moved over just so he could get by me because there's other traffic coming. If he'd have went around me the other way, somebody would have hit him. So I rolled down my window, and he's just coming. It was an older fella. As he got there, I was like, you're going the wrong way. He goes, I know. And I almost was saying, then why didn't you turn around? But he got farther away. Yeah, I mean, it's like, and he went another quarter mile before he turned in, and there was a half a dozen places he could have turned out of the way. I'm thinking, so what, you're just going to wait until somebody hits you and kills you or something? What's the problem? Some of you go, that's crazy. But how many of you could I say, hey, going the wrong way. I know. Well, I know is going to get you killed if you're not careful. Amen? Hey, you know what he said? Run with patience. Patience is a good running partner. Amen? It'll help you. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's one reason why I hate this message. See why? Because when you preach it, the devil says, well, let's see how you do, champ. There are going to be a few obstacles this week. If not, I'll be happy. If there are, I'll still be happy. Why? So I'm going to say, patience, you there? And she'll say, I'm right here. I'm like, good, because I'm going to need you on this one. Amen? That's how it works.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. purchase the blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, then moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. To the Father through Jesus the Son, and
Thank you for listening to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. If you are in the Dayton, Ohio area, we would love to have you join us in person. We are located at 6953 Germantown Pike in Moraine, Ohio. Our regular service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. Once again, thank you for listening to Light from the Word. Until next time, thank you and good day.